Welcome to the Student Pilot Podcast. My name is Simon Callis, a flight school owner. Each week, myself and my guests will be talking all things flight training and beyond to help inspire, motivate and support you on your journey to becoming a private or commercial pilot. So welcome to the podcast, everybody. Today we have Steve Mason, our head of training, back on the podcast, and we are talking skills tests again. So welcome back, Steve.
Yeah, good to be back.
Excellent. So following on from Archie's recent interview about his skills test, we asked Steve and the examiner to come on the show to talk about the skills test from the examiner's point of view. So Archie gave us the kind of student's point of view. Now we're talking to Steve about the examiner's point of view. So first thing I think we need to hammer home really, Steve, is that you shouldn't be afraid of the test, right? You know, if you've been recommended for test by your school, you should be of a standard ready to be tested.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it's just demonstrating. I mean, the word test is a bit misleading. It's a demonstration of just things that you've learned before.
Yeah.
And that you do that to a safe standard. So what the examiner is looking for is that you can operate the aircraft on a passenger flight under VMC safely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main thing. So that's the absolutely overriding thing is safety.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think the key thing is as well is that at PPL level anyway, the examiner isn't necessarily looking for perfection. They're looking for good decision making and a safe flight. So can you run us through a typical test, how it would be laid out?
So the student arrives, so there'll be a meet and greet. And the examiner will do an initial brief and give you the route. The student will be then given some planning time to go away and plan that. And then the examiner and student will meet again at a prearranged time, and the student will present all the information they've got. So make sure the aircraft's legal, do any briefings they see fit, go through any planning. That will normally be fairly structured. So they'll do that and then go flying. So the actual test itself, there's the departure section. Then you've got general handling. So in that will be, amongst other things, stalling, steep turns, and recovery from the spiral descent. Then you've got the nav section. So the examiner will give you a route. And you'll need to complete that with dead reckoning, not Sky Demon, dead reckoning. you can't use moving map displays, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And as part of that, you've also got a little bit of radio navigation. So tracking a beacon and also a position fix. If it's a PPL skills test, there'll also be a little bit of simulated IMC, instrument meteorological conditions. And then we'll come back to the airfield and do some circuits. So the circuits will be, there'll be a precision landing, a glide approach, and there'll also be a flapless.
Okay. So you said about there's some differences there between the LAPL test and the PPL test. So the difference is being no... what do you call it? Instrument appreciation.
Yeah. So the LAPL, you wouldn't have the instrument appreciation. You wouldn't have the radio nav bit as well.
Okay.
So other than that, they are fairly similar. Yeah. I don't know about identical, but they're similar. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So how much as an examiner does the pre-flight briefing that you have with the student influence the test?
Well, it sets the tone. So, you know, you want to see everything you want to see, but it sets the tone for the test. So if you have a good pre-flight briefing, like with anything with flying, planning is key. So if you have a good pre-flight briefing, good preparation in order to generate that pre-flight briefing, which is the important bit, then, you know, it sets the tone for your test. It sets the tone to the examiner. And more importantly, it sets the tone to you as well. So, you know, you start as you mean to go on almost.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's very important. Yes, okay, there are things that we're looking at within that. You know, you want to see that they've got good knowledge of, you know, pre-flight planning and aircraft documents and things like that. But it does, it sets the tone. Rather than doing the absolute minimum, I once had a test where someone had literally prepared an actual book for me. They'd made a book with everything in, and it was very difficult to ask any questions on that because they'd literally covered everything. There's nothing. It was so thorough.
Yeah.
And that just, you start as you mean to go on.
And have you ever come across anybody who's the complete opposite, that has a complete lack of preparation? Or?
A one-word answer for that, without going into any more detail,
Yeah, fair enough. No, it's so the preparation with anything in flying is key, isn't it? And as they say, if you know, you can prepare to fail. So, you know, good preparation is key. And is there anything heavily weighted in the test, as in things that would maybe be a reason for failure? I know you can't give away too much, but is there any things in the test that they should really make sure they're good at, if you see what I mean?
I don't know about heavily weighted, but you've got to think about what's important. So, you know, anything to do with emergencies is going to be very important. Mm-hmm. The test is simulated.
Yeah.
But in a real situation, you know, if you have, for example, an engine failure, you've only got one chance.
Yeah.
So, you know, take from that what you will.
Yeah.
But generally, all around, you're looking for safety, you're looking for good decision making. Mm-hmm. Other than what I just said about the emergency bit, I wouldn't say there's one item that's weighted. It's a sort of general how you approach a test as a whole.
Yeah. So in general, then make sure the planning's good. Make sure you you've brushed up on navigation before you go. Make sure you've brushed up on all the things in the syllabus, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that, you know, a lot of people get to the end of their training and there's things that they haven't done for a while, which they might be a bit rusty at. So I would take the opportunity before you test to go and do some brush up with an instructor. I mean, we kind of mandate it here that you have to do a mock test, and as the mock test will kind of reveal what brush up they need to do before they're recommended for test. And I'm sure most schools do similar things.
Well, it's a requirement. Yeah. So the course completion certificate, the examiner can't do test without course completion certificate.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, in terms of... how much preparation you do is down to you, really, as a student. But a lot of people like to do a lot of pre-test preparation. I think it's a good thing. You know, obviously your instructor will recommend you for test when they believe you're ready for test, which is what the process we were just talking of. But I think generally it's good to go and practice, you know, PFLs. That's something that's really important for test. And a lot of people haven't done it since that lesson. So practice force landings, you know, go and do a load of those. Likewise, incipient spin and stall recovery, that kind of thing, is something that you probably want to brush up on.
Yeah, so that's a good point, actually, because the skills test is, you know, a demonstration of everything in the syllabus.
Yeah.
But with the way the syllabus is formed, it's likely that the student hasn't done some of the general handling stuff for quite a long time. So that's a good point, actually.
Especially if you're one of these students who's done it over a couple of years or something, it might be a long time since you've done a stall.
Yeah, I mean, there should be revision going on throughout the course training, really, but it is not outside the realms of possibility. Yeah,
yeah, especially if they've moved schools and things like that. So, yeah, use that. You know, everyone sort of gets a QXC done and sort of thinks, oh, I've got to do my test, No. But it's not the case. You need to get the preparation done. Make sure that you've covered all the angles. Make sure you're proficient at everything. And if there's something you're a little bit uncomfortable on, go and practice that. You know, if you're not so comfortable with PFLs, go and practice them. If it's stalls, whatever the thing is, go and practice it a bit more. But likewise, you know, like we said, your instructor will need to recommend you for tests, and at that point they believe you're ready for the test. But ultimately, it's your skills on the day, that demonstration of skills, which will mean whether you pass or fail. And also the attitude you bring to the test as well can be a big influencing fact on how well the test goes sometimes. So bring a good attitude, be well prepared. I think are the main messages. Steve, finally, could you give us maybe some tips on what the, you know, if you had five tips you could give somebody who's about to do their test, just general tips, is there any things that stand out to you?
Well, I'd say if you can, get yourself a good night's sleep prior to the test. Mm-hmm. Be nice and relaxed. The CAA themselves actually recommend that you go to the gym beforehand, which is, I think, a good idea.
Yeah.
And that's from the CAA, not me.
So
have a good night's sleep, be nice rested, nice and calm as far as you can.
Yeah.
If you can, contact the school the day before to ensure that you've got no issues preventing the test. So aircraft scheduling issues, anything like that. Unfortunately, aircraft do go tech. Mm. What you don't want is arriving on the morning and having to deal with that on the morning. So, you know, for example, if the aircraft you plan to use has gone tech and you need to use another one, and then you've got to do another mass and balance because that's a different aircraft, you don't want that on the morning. No. You want to try and establish that the day before if you can. So contact the school the day before. If you can, I'd probably go in to the school the day before. So that's all preparation. The test itself, treat the examiner as you would a passenger.
Mm.
So the test is assessing your ability to operate a passenger flight in VMC, visual meteorological conditions. So without giving too much away, have a think about that. So how would you treat a passenger? Approach it like that. So passenger has never flown a light aircraft before. How would you approach that? What would you think about? What considerations would you have? Prepare what you can in advance. Arrive early, allow extra preparation time. Make sure you're familiar with the various documentations you need to go through. You've got everything you deem fit printed off. Going back to what I said about the gent who had prepared a book for me. As you can imagine, they hadn't done that a couple of hours before the test. They'd been doing that, I think, most of the day. If I remember rightly, that was an afternoon test that I'd spent all morning preparing. And that wasn't a bad thing to do.
No.
So, you know, preparation, you know, I'm not sure you can prepare too much for that.
No, exactly. And I think key thing to that is if you're at a school where they have lots of aeroplanes of the same type, you know, if you were flying, for example, here, we tend to keep the students in the same aeroplane. So the students are frequently looking at the aircraft documentation. They're familiar with that particular aeroplane. But if you're going to a school where there's lots of different aeroplanes of the same type, I think that's even more important then.
Yeah, it might even be that the aircraft has, you know, it's had a check since you last saw it and the paperwork's different. That can happen.
Yeah.
When you're checking the paperwork, look for out of sequence maintenance actions. I was once caught out by one of those on my CPL skills test. word of advice. And finally, vocalize your checklist. So what I mean by that is when you're in the aircraft, you know, and I often get people apologizing for this when I'm instructing. They say, oh, I'm really sorry. I like to vocalize everything.
Yeah,
great. Kind of, fantastic.
Yeah.
Because you can see as an examiner what the student's thought process is. So a lot of people do this naturally. They sort of vocalize what they're doing, and that's great. And never apologize for that.
Yeah.
It's actually a really, really good trait. It helps the instructor, when you're at the instructional stage, and it will help the examiner. So you can see the thought process. You can also see that the students completed the checks very simplistically. So yeah, that's a really good thing to do.
They do it in airline, isn't they?
Yeah, they're doing it. In fact, that's an excellent point. So in part CAT, so commercial operations, they're required to vocalize that. And that's so that the other person knows what the other crew member's thinking. And whether they've completed that action. So yeah, that's an excellent point. So really, really important, really good thing to do if you can.
So I'll just recap on those in short form then. So tip one, ensure you get a good night's sleep prior to the test. Tip two, contact the school the day before to ensure there are no issues preventing the test from going ahead. Tip three, treat the examiner as a passenger as if they have no knowledge and brief them on what to expect in terms of procedures and safety. Tip four, prepare what you can in advance, arriving early on the day to allow extra preparation time and familiarize yourself with the aircraft documentation. And finally, tip five, vocalize your checklist to the examiner. So next thing, which I haven't put on here actually, so I'm just going to catch you out on this. It's not a trick question, but what are the test outcomes? So in terms of if you take a test, obviously there's worst case scenario is a fail, but can you explain the difference between a partial test and a... No, go on.
Okay. So the outcomes are a pass, a partial pass, and a fail. Mm-hmm. So on the day, the examiner will brief you for the sort of criteria for all of those.
Okay.
But those are the three outcomes. So a pass is obvious. A partial pass means that you might have to do little bits again, and a fail will be that you've not satisfied the needs of the test and you would need to do that again.
Okay. So in terms of retaking a test, what is the rules around retaking a test if you fail?
It's quite complex. So it depends on the outcome of the test. There's various different options and routes that you can go down.
Okay.
It's not really possible to answer, unfortunately. There might be that you have to do a bit of retraining. It might be that you have to just the attempt that the part of the test that you failed. It might be that, you could just go and attempt it again. It very much depends. I'm not being awkward, but it very much depends on the outcome. There's quite a lot of criteria, and
so basically, if you do fail a test, your examiner will brief you on the options available to you.
There'll be a number of options available to you, and your examiner will brief you on that, make sure you're happy with that, and you fully understand.
Okay, but it's not generally like a dead end. It's
not at all. No, okay. So there's always ways. There will always be a route to retake the test. So worst case scenario, you fail. It's difficult for me to go into detail what that route will be, but there will be a route that you can take to be able to reattempt the test.
Okay. And is there any limit to how many times you can retake a test?
No.
No. What about time limits in terms of... between tests, is there like a period where you can't?
Again, it depends
on the situation.
It depends on the situation.
Okay.
So it might be that an examiner sees fit to prescribe that.
Right.
But it depends on the situation.
So just to summarize that then, if you do fail, it's not necessarily the end of the road. You could potentially retake the test, but depending on the outcome of the test is how that would pan out.
Basically. Yeah. Well, it's not necessarily the end of the road. It isn't the end of the road.
Yeah.
So, the examiner's there to support you. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're there to assess you. As I've said, they'll give you a route and then your ATO or DTO can follow that prescribed route and get you back on track and attempt another test. And there's no reason why all but wouldn't be well.
Okay. Now, one thing that just sprung into my mind is if you... say you fail a test, do you have to resit the test with the same examiner the second time?
It depends on the situation.
Right, okay.
Not necessarily, but it does depend on the situation.
So again, just take the advice of the examiner.
Take the advice of the examiner,
when it happens.
But, okay. Not necessarily, no.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Steve. Good to have you back on the show again. I hope the listeners found this useful. I just thought it would be a good spin on it to talk to an examiner after we'd spoken to a student. So you get both sides of the story. But I think the general thing we can take away from both interviews with yourself and Archie is don't panic about the skills test.
No.
You know, by the time you get there, your school will have done so much due diligence on you and training with you that you're going to be ready. I mean, it doesn't mean you're not you're guaranteed to pass. Of course you're not. But you're in a good place to pass, most people from what we've seen here as a school, if they do fail, it's something really silly they've done because they're under duress on the day. And then the second time round, they're a bit more relaxed about it because they've done it once,
you know?
So don't be worried about it. Prepare well for it. And, don't be afraid of doing more revision. You know, Archie said that in his interview, that he did more revision than what he was recommended because he felt that he needed it. So be prepared, and don't take it as a given that you're going to pass, either. Make sure you're prepared and relax on the day. So, if you like this episode, please like, subscribe and smash the bell for more notifications on the next episode. We look forward to seeing you soon. If you like this episode, please like, subscribe, and ding the bell to receive notifications of the next episode.